You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Seems that every weekend there's a march for something. Of course, any march that's for something is also against something. You don't really march unless you have something to protest. Say, for instance, the pro-life march is going to be protesting legalized abortion. It kind of is two sides of one coin. So the march for science, what exactly was that march protesting? Joining us to talk about conflating science with politics, Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine. He's columnist for National Review Online and author of a recent column for First Things titled The Real Anti-Science. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Tal, how are you?
I'm doing well. What were they protesting nationwide during the March for Science?
Beats me. No, sorry. What this really was, and it turned into, I think, is primarily a liberal political march, trying to kind of follow up on the March for Women that was held the day after the inauguration, only without the funny pink hats. It really was an idea of anti-Trump, you know, which is certainly legitimate, but that isn't a march for science. The organizers are basically trying to use science, which people respect, and the authority of science as a way to promote their own political agenda. And that actually hurts science, because if you force people, if you make people think, let's put it that way, that they have to choose between, quote, science and whether they have religious beliefs or what their moral views are, science is often going to be the loser. And so I think this was a very unwise thing. Now, there were some issues that were being protested that one could legitimately discuss in terms of a proper policy debate. For example, the level of scientific funding by the government. That's something that, you know, we can, that is certainly worthy of discussion. But because, I'm just going to throw out numbers. Let's say that one advocate says, I want to fund science for $100 billion a year. And another person says, well, let's make it $75 billion because we've got these education needs or we need a tax cut. The person calling for the lower level of scientific funding isn't anti-science. It's just a policy disagreement because science is one aspect of a huge array of issues that the government has to deal with.
Okay, so the bottom line seems to be for me, from my perspective, and I don't know if you agree, I don't know of anyone who is against science.
Well, that's exactly what I wrote. Science is a method. It is a method of deriving knowledge. It uses a certain, the scientific method uses certain techniques that have proved to be tremendously powerful in obtaining knowledge about the natural world and can be used also in terms of applications. Nobody's anti-science except perhaps Ted Kaczynski, you know. Everybody's for science. That's why I found this idea of a march for science and the labeling of people with whom the people who organized the march and some people in terms of political issues, when they label people with whom they disagree about, say, ethics or about policy as anti-science, they're actually harming science because you're basically accusing people of being against a method when that's not true at all.
You say that there are three means by which these supposed defenders of science actually undermine science through their political tactics, the first one being conflating science with ethics and morality. What do you mean?
Right. For example, when I was engaged in the embryonic stem cell debate, George Bush, as you may recall, in fact, I was interviewed on your program many times about it, he put in a certain policy in terms of embryonic stem cell funding. I defended that policy. I was labeled anti-science because I believed that George Bush was right not to have the federal government fund embryonic stem cell research made from embryos destroyed in anticipation of receiving federal funding. That was not a science position. That was an ethical position. But people would say, you're anti-science. And that's like as crazy as me saying to those who opposed my position, well, you're anti-ethics. It's ridiculous. It was an ethical difference. It was a difference over what would be the proper ethical approach for the federal government. Bill Nye, the science guy, who is actually a mechanical engineer, he's not a scientist. He hasn't got any scientific training to speak of. He did a YouTube, and I brought this up in the article, a YouTube pro-abortion kind of abortion rights YouTube video in which he conflated, not only did he get his science wrong, what little science he put in there, but he put his moral beliefs about abortion into a video using the authority of science to back them up. When he wasn't talking about science, and the little science he did talk about was erroneous, he was talking about his ethics. When you do that, you begin to harm science. So if somebody is against abortion rights, if they believe that Bill Nye, the science guy, says, well, if you're for science, you're going to be for abortion, that's not going to help science.
And you say in that point that really science, all it can tell us is what the embryo is. It cannot make the moral
exactly.
decision.
Science, I call it, is amoral. But science is for obtaining knowledge. It can't tell us right from wrong. It can tell us what the embryo is in terms of a human organism. It cannot tell us whether destroying that organism to obtain certain scientific benefits is right or wrong. It can tell us that a fetus is a gestating human being, which is what the science is. It cannot tell us that abortion and aborting that fetus is wrong. That is an issue of morality, ethics, perhaps religious belief. Those are not the same thing at all. We can inform ourselves and our ethical beliefs and our moral beliefs with scientific knowledge, but science can't tell us what's right or wrong to think. For example, it might provide tremendously interesting scientific information to drop an atomic bomb on the moon. Whether or not we would do such a thing is not a scientific question. It's an ethical question. That's why science needs good ethics, because science in the service of evil, which is again not a moral belief or an ethical belief, can do real harm. And we saw that in the camps when Mengele did the twin studies. There could have been some, and there was, I suppose, some interesting results from the twin studies, but it was a moral abomination. But science couldn't say it was an immoral abomination. That's not what science can do. That's out of scientific purview. That's a matter of philosophy, morality, ethics, religious belief, and so forth.
How is the term anti-science used to stifle debate?
Well, if you take a position that, let's say, a self-described science advocate thinks is the proper approach, the example I give is when somebody called me anti-science because I opposed the creation of a three-parent embryo. And I opposed the creation of that three-parent embryo based on ethical suppositions, and I didn't think it would be safe in terms of the situation in which you'd actually be creating a baby from broken eggs because you mix the contents of two eggs without getting into all the details. I was called anti-science for that, and I was told in this article that ran on Real Clear Science, which is a very notable science site, that I believe that IVF is a tool of Lucifer. I mean, I never brought up Lucifer once, old scrap or whatever they call him, Beelzebub. I've never brought him up once in my articles. But that was an attempt to shut me up. In fact, this writer tried to get me thrown off National Review because I took a different ethical position than he did. But he did so not by saying, well, I disagree with Smith on ethics. He did so by saying National Review should not have an anti-science writer working on that site. And that was an attempt to shut me up and people like me who had a different ethical perspective. It's used as a pejorative. Again, if somebody agrees with me on the three-parent embryo, if they're told, well, you're anti-science if you agree with Smith, someone may say, well, then I'm anti-science. And that's just not good for science.
What do you make, with only about 30 seconds here, what do you make of this term we often hear, scientific consensus, Wesley?
I think it's a way, again, of winning political arguments. Science is never settled. You have case after case. You can go through the history of science of where the scientific consensus, let's say the majority of scientists believed A, and then upon further studies, it turns out it's Z. We see that all the time. But in certain issues, particularly hot-button political issues, that consensus is used to say you can't even research that any further. Any research you do now to challenge that that majority view is anti-science. Well, that itself is anti-science because the scientific method requires people to continually challenge, continually retest. Even Einstein's theory of relativity is under constant relooks. There's people relook at that. And it's just not, it's not the scientific method to say that the consensus settles it. Science is never settled.
Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do-Harm Medicine. He's a columnist for National Review Online and author of a recent column for First Things titled The Real Anti-Science. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough has brought some examples of really bad Easter preaching. Then we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.